Previously on the audio files.
You've never heard Paul McCartney's masterpiece Yesterday until you've heard it done by Paul McCartney's close buddy.
Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. 'Cause now I'm an amputee.
Okay.
Chins up, boobs out, it's showtime.
Time for music.
Civilized conversation.
Wherever the music takes me, kitten.
Scott Edward Phelps.
Ah, yes, the legendary wit, or at least half of it.
Dave Simmons.
Good evening, Dave.
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Tell you right out, I'm a man who likes talking to a man who likes to...
The most important music show ever.
Cue inspirational music.
The Audio Files.
They're not twinkling.
Yeah, but the big orange ball is burning again and light is back. We mark ourselves safe from retinal burns and assorted other solar side effects. And it's time for our annual post-eclipse episode.
Did you say rectal burns?
Rectal burns. That's what I said. If that's what you heard, that's what I said.
Wasn't that a character on MASH?
Rectal burns?
Oh, that was Frank Burns.
Frank Burns. Rectal burns was the local pastor. The next annual post-eclipse episode will be in 2044, and chances are one of the two voices you're going to be hearing for the next hour won't be around. My money's on me, but that's only because I'm older. I mean, not being around. Meanwhile, this week, crying and drinking and vaginal metaphors, it's all part of today's hip and happening musical scene, empirical evidence that Taylor Swift is a Quaker, and we ain't talking oats, baby. Dale, Miley, and Beyonce. Who wears it better? We'll let you decide, and then we'll tell you whether you're right or wrong. And everybody knows that Dave Simmons is the shit. But hang around, because you have no idea just how much the shit he is. All that and the five-day forecast as we salute the wild and wacky world of pop music weirdos on Eccentric Avenue. But first up, astounding, magnificent breaking news. Every single problem we face as a country in this country has been solved and or resolved. The proof's in the pudding, and that's pudding that rhymes with Megan. And it's the top story at the top of the charts.
Our top story.
Our top story.
The top of the charts.
The audio files.
All righty. Dave and I used to do a show called The Blab, and it had a lot of cultural stuff in it. We talked a lot of politics, and we bailed out because we got tired of talking about the same politics week in, week out. But here's the thing, and we're not going to belabor this. It just crossed my radar yesterday morning, but I thought, I'm going to throw this up. Dave probably hasn't heard it, so he'll be a fresh ears and eyes on this. And it's political, but sort of, kind of. Let me just tell you what it is, and then we'll do this. And politics is life, and life is politics, and music is life, and life is music, and they're all connected together in one way or another. So that's my rationalization. But this little bit of biatch blather is worth a minute or two of our attention, I think. It's a rare, but not at all undeserved, temporary show segment. We're going to call this, thank you for your insightful opinion, and oh yeah, you're really dumb, so shut the fuck up.
I guess I'm dumb, but
Megyn Kelly, you hip to Megyn Kelly?
Megyn Kelly, yes.
Okay, she's been on every network there is to be on over the years. NBC, CNN, CBS, HBO, Fox News. She's got a SiriusXM channel. She's got an Instagram page, a YouTube channel. And I'm going to say on the front end without, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this. I just want to play this that she had to say, and we'll have a little chat on it. This is where, I liked her. I thought she made a lot of sense back in the day. She seemed fresh. She was bright. And she wasn't uneasy to look at the same time.
Easy on the eyes.
Okay. Now, she's apparently massively dosed in the Kool-Aid, or she's so desperate for an audience that she's gotten into that whole thing. She was doing a little podcasty, vidcasty thing with two other little chirpies on the split screen. And the conversation rolled around to Beyonce and the album Cowboy Carter. I will say no more, except just give this a listen and then we'll chat.
I gotta be honest, I'm not a big Beyonce follower. I don't have anything against her. I don't listen to her music. But I do get kind of annoyed at how whenever she does anything, we have to pretend she's the second coming. It's like, oh my God, They literally call her Queen Bey. It's like she can do absolutely no wrong. If you criticize her, there's something wrong with you. Well, too bad. Deal with it. So she's come out now with a country album. And of course, these leftists and media whores pretend that no one's ever done country before Beyonce's done it. Country's this wonderful new genre that the Queen Bey has discovered. Oh my God, this is wonderful. And the reactions to her album called Cowboy Carter, which just dropped, are of course typically over the top. Among others, who's weighed in on this? Michelle Obama decided to post about this, and Kamala Harris saying, "You have redefined a genre and reclaimed country music's black roots." Why did country need to be redefined? What was wrong with it that we needed it to be rescued by Beyonce, right? And that's the same message basically from Michelle Obama, who says, "Once again, you've helped redefine a music genre and transform our culture. I'm so proud of you. Cowboy Carter is a reminder that despite everything we've been through, to be heard, seen, and recognized." I mean, she always finds a way to work how downtrodden she's been into her tweets and posts. "We can still dance, sing, and be who we are unapologetically." I'm sure it's very hard for Beyonce to be who she is unapologetically with her billions of dollars that she's earned and her husband has earned, despite how crappily this nation has treated her. "This album reminds us all that we all have power. There is power in our history, in our joy, and in our vote." And of course, it goes on to, "Together, we can stand up for what we believe in. We must do that at the ballot box. And as Queen Bey says at the end of Yaya, we need to keep the faith and vote." What is this? Is this feminism? Is this aggrievement? And why is it that Queen Bey is being treated like she's the first one to take a little dalliance over into this weird, heretofore unknown field of country music?
I watched the video, and again, I brought this up.
Well, let me point something out before you start, Scott.
This is going to be quick.
No, this is going to be really quick. I cannot believe that Kamala Harris put together a coherent sentence. It's usually like word salad with her, but go ahead.
I had two thoughts. I had two thoughts when I
that
finished.
Wasn't one of them.
No, I had, well, Kamala, yeah, to be sure. When I and my proviso is it should be a given by this point. I'm not defending anybody that she mentioned personally, whether it be Michelle Obama or Kamala Harris or anybody else. I'm just saying. I had two thoughts. One was that it was kind of a landmark moment for me watching that particular happen, because I realized there was another media celebrity who hates Kamala Harris more than you do. So I thought, that's congratulatory right there.
Yes, go ahead, Megan.
Megan, you go, girl, but I'm telling you. But the second thought was, and I did my research and homework too, I just found it catty. I found it meowy, and I thought to myself, you know what, if you want to continue to lambast Michelle and Kamala and Murphy and Schwartz, and I don't give a fuck who you're talking about, then...
Yeah, I don't like that she went after Michelle, but go after Kamala as much as you want.
All right. But that first thought was that you know, she hates her more than you do.
Yeah.
Second thought was this. This is the part where these people, and by these people, I mean people on the side of the red cap and the MAGA, and apparently Megan has gone over to the dark side from the way, and you should have seen her face. You could tell it in her voice. She was being a bitch. Right. You know what? You're a multi-million-dollar journalist getting paid multi-million dollars to offer insight and opinions. And here's the thing. Here's how fucking stupid you are. You're so fucking stupid, you didn't even have a researcher or a lackey or take the time yourself to do what I did, which was to spend about 4.5 minutes checking various videos and places and discovering that nobody on the inside circle, Jay Carter and his wife Beyonce, or Beyonce's people, or anybody who knows Beyonce around the rim, and most of the fans who are in the hip know, it's Queen B, not Queen Bey, you dumb twat. So I'm like, really? Yeah. This is what you're, and it's, this is the core problem in all of our politics everywhere and everything. And this was a perfect shining example of why I brought it up in the first place. Instead of saying, here's some legitimate criticism about the political situation and the policies and the differences and why we need to do, we're going to take cheap shots at Michelle Obama and Kamala Harris, and to do it, we're going to make fun of Beyonce, and it's just catty,
right.
It's cheap, it's cheesy,
right.
And it's just wrong.
I mean, people need to be professional when they make fun of Beyonce, like us.
Right. And as Forrest would say, that's all we have to say about that. We were gone last week because I had some work done. My lips aren't missing nearly. See, the swelling's gone down.
Yeah, you look great. Well, you look great.
I feel good. But since we've been gone, things have happened. So we thought we'd catch up and say, hey, what's been going on since we've been gone?
Since you've been gone. Since you. You know I've been in a buttload of pain. Yeah. Since you've been gone. I feel almost as bad as I did when you were still here.
Audiophiles.
Speaking
love
of
that high harmony.
Speaking of Beyonce, the album while we were gone, not that's not the album, Cowboy Carter's the album, broke the Spotify record for the most streamed album in a single day in 2024. So during the week last week when we were off, when it was released and all the hoopla was going on. The streaming service said Beyonce's Cowboy Carter became Spotify's most streamed album in a single day. 500 million streams.
That's incredible.
And of course, the songwriters will get, I did fast math, about 87 cents.
Yes.
For all the streams.
I think it's 0.0000007 per spin.
I think that as a professional, you know, a former professional songwriter, producer, et cetera, I find that outrageous. In fact, I was sitting there doing that math, just steaming while I was downloading shit free from Spotify.
There you go.
But, you know, this is how we work things. All right. So now, I listened because I was off and for about 3 or 4 days. I wasn't allowed to do anything except just lay there and not touch nothing. And don't, let me tell you, that was a problem.
Well, I know you're always touching something.
Well, when I think about you, I touch myself. I listened to the entire album uninterrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I got to be honest with you. I don't think we've trashed it or her. We've mentioned the fact that I don't care for what, I don't, Texas Hold'em, nah. 18 carriages or 16 tons or whatever the hell that song was. She did Jolene, and I can't remember, did I do this in a dream or did we talk about 2 weeks ago?
We didn't talk about Jolene.
Okay. My problem with Jolene was that it wasn't Dolly Parton Jolene. They rewrote the lyrics. They changed the character of the woman singing the song. And to me, I wrote an essay piece on it, and she's free to do it. And Dolly, of course, took the high road and said, I love it, and everything's cheeky cheese, and everything's fine. And that's her prerogative. For me, the title of my essay was Mona Lisa with a Nose Ring. You can paint Mona Lisa, but if you put a nose ring on it, it's not Mona Lisa.
Right.
Now, all that said, she did a... Oh, and I was going to say the thing about listening to the whole album. About four tracks in, it starts off with a musical interlude kind of piece or opening piece with some lyrics in it. It's called American Requiem. It's kind of moving.
Mm-hmm.
And that segues into the first track, which was her, which is her version of Paul McCartney's Blackbird.
Right.
Which is kind of well done.
Yeah, McCartney said he liked it.
I liked
it. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so about four songs in, I really had a moment where I'm thinking to myself, well, this is going to make for interesting conversation today because I think I'm about to, ready to say that I was a little too hasty and this could be a masterwork. Okay. Now, fast forward to 114 tracks later.
What happened to the masterwork?
Yeah. It got lost, in my opinion. It got lost in the, there's like 28 tracks on the album.
Right.
I remember what George Martin said many, many years ago when he was asked about the White Album. And he said, I always thought that if we had pared it down to one album, it would have made it spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
Legendary.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when Paul McCartney famously said it was great. It sold. It was the Bloody Beatles Wild Album. Shut up.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say is if I had the chance to talk to Beyonce for a moment and like she cares what my opinion is, I would have said to her, here's my summation review of this album. Three words. Editor. Say it fast. Editor.
Yes.
Editor. 27 tracks. By about 16, I was worn out. By 18, was like, heard it, been there, done it. And by 20, I said, or 28 or whatever it was. I think I fell asleep somewhere around 22 because I was laying in the recliner. So there's that. Now, all of that, she did Jolene. Some guy did a quick TikTok thing, and I thought, well, Dave and I can have some fun with this for a few minutes because we've talked about these three people, Dolly Parton, Miley Cyrus, Beyonce, rhymes with fiancé,
right.
You know, Club Bay, like Megan says, Club Bay. So he did this. Give this a listen, and then we're going to say, like, who does it best or who wears it best, all right? Make sure I push the right button. Watch this.
Jolene, 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 Jolene. I'm begging of you, please don't take my man.
Jolene, 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 Jolene. Oh, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man.
Jolene, 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 Jolene.
Okay. Your vote.
Well, obviously, Dolly does it best, but...
Well, I give Dolly the asterisk, and there was no judgment there. It's her song. She wrote the song. She painted the Mona Lisa, and her version is 53 years old, so there's that.
Well, Beyonce's version is the worst of the three. Miley stayed true to the original, and Miley's just... She even had the little wobble in her voice that that Dolly had.
You should
We've talked about this. Miley is one of the most talented singers of her generation.
Yeah, and she's just about, it's going to be another couple of years, but she's finally going to have grown up and out of all that crap she did when she was a kid and all the twerking and the wacky stuff that made her crazy. And she's going to really do some great stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I agree. That version was live. It was a thing they called the backyard sessions, and it was two or three musicians sitting on wooden stools in her backyard doing it acoustically. My problem with the Beyonce recording was, and Beyonce stayed true to the groove, such as it was, mostly. But again, if you listen to the entire song, it's, to me, and this is as a songwriter, Mona Lisa with a nose ring. Mm-hmm. The original song was written about a woman who was pained and afraid and frightened that she was going to lose her man to a prettier girl, woman. She was lowered to beg, please don't. It was a character. It was like a movie character. Okay. Mm-hmm. Beyonce comes along and it's, I ain't take no shit, bitch. You leave my, I think it cheapens it.
Yeah. There are some songs that should not be redone. Like all the Beatles songs. They shouldn't be redone. You know, once you're the Beatles and there's iconic songs. Like Jolene. They just shouldn't be redone, even though Miley did a great job.
Well, you know what? If I can hear Beyonce's inflections and the groove they put together and the sonic quality of the record, and if she had stayed true to the lyric relatively, then I could have said, okay, well, she paid it homage, as it were, but no.
Homage.
It was just this, you know, you listen to the whole lyric. So I'm not going to belabor that, but Miley's the winner as far as
it goes. Yeah, Miley. Miley's the best. I love Miley.
And as far as we're concerned, if we never hear Jolene again, it won't be too soon.
Scott Edward Phelps, Dave Simmons, The Audiophiles.
Enough is enough.
Dave didn't know we had a microphone. That's Ultimate Diamond during their encore presentation at their show. So if you want to say that's a moment to forget. All right. It may be this. It may be that. It may be something. It may be something else. We won't know until we open the drawer and we take out the audio files.
They're here.
Same like little freaking files.
You'll like these. You'll really dig them, that cab and all the other pimply hyperboles.
I am experiencing audio suggestion, Captain.
Could you please write it down and file it away someplace?
You are a file, that is all. Nothing more.
I know!
It's great, it's sold, it's the bloody Beatles White Album, shut up.
Did I just learn something new and have fun doing it? What?
All right!
Check it out.
The audio files.
All right, first file out of the drawer this week. What's new?
What's up?
What's up? What's all the hubbub?
Well, the hubbub is, here's a song that Beyonce didn't re-record. This is kind of new stuff. We're going to do 1, 2, 3 and tell you a little bit about these songs just to show that Dave and I are timely and topical. It's not always about old stuff from when we were younger. This is new material. Maybe we'll do mini Raider records here. Benson Boone is 21 years old. He started out by, and this is the modern day way that kids are doing them, and more power to him. He started out by posting his songs on TikTok.
Yeah.
And then people started to notice
that. A lot of people are found that way.
That's the way this works. This is his tune, and it's the latest. Just came into the Billboard Hot 100 up high, I think top 15. It's called Cry.
I tried to hide it through the silence while I played along. I'm welling up behind my eyelids when I'm holding on to the rage so badly I hate it. And I wish that all of...
No, no, no. That doesn't feel right. Maybe speed it up.
Go ahead and ruin someone else's.
I like this kid, and I'll tell you what, the groove, the feel, the song, voice. The melody does. He's got quite an octave range. I will say this, in terms of if there's critique to be thrown, a little bit of critique, when I said I like it, the whole feel and the sound of the voice and the mm-hmm. tone and texture of it all, I liked it 15 years ago when Bruno Mars was doing it. There's just so much derivative stuff nowadays.
I think we might be at the tipping point musically where everything's been done.
You know, a long time ago, I don't know whether we've ever talked about this before, but this is like a long time ago in now years. I want to say back in the 80s, I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine who was a kind of a music archivist, journalist, geek kind of guy. And he mm-hmm. said at the time that Columbia University music professors had done a study with what was then our computer systems and said they had extrapolated based on the number of notes in the scale, mathematical combinations possible. And this was back in the 1980s, and said that by the year 1997, okay, every melody that was possible to have been created will have already been created at least one yes. time.
And I mean, there's only so many chords. Same so thing. Every chord's sure. been put together in every sequence that you can think.
Yeah.
So we might be at that tipping point because now almost every, and we make a joke about this, at the Neil Diamond practices. Saul will, say, like, he'll say, hey, I just wrote this song, and he plays something, and Billy immediately plays a song that everybody knows that sounds just like it. It drives, we're going to have to get Saul back on because it drives Saul insane.
That's a show there.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get Saul back on, but maybe we'll get Saul and Billy because it is one of the funniest things you've ever seen because Saul's like, oh man, come on.
For you Big Bang fans, this will be the musical equivalent of Emily or Cinnamon. Saul or iconic song from the past. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. But anyway, I like the kid and I think, you know, he's got a great voice. But again, if I was listening to it, I'd say, good for you, kid. You've captured the essence of Bruno Mars and that mentality. So what are we going to do with it? But I think he's top 15 in the Billboard chart already.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Lizzie McAlpine, and I'm assuming that's correct pronunciation or McAlpine, but let's say McAlpine. Came in the top 15. She started out on SoundCloud. Same thing. She put her stuff up there and people started listening. And this is what she sounds like. Her song is called Drunk Running.
What did you mean when you said that you were sober now? Caught you in bed with a Red Bull vodka 2 weeks out. No one stops you. Nobody takes it from your hand. Even when you break your leg drunk running, someone ought to hold you to your words. Say I love you and then drink it backwards.
Your impressions?
Yeah, I've heard her on Coffee House. She's got a soothing voice. Very soothing.
Yes.
To the point where I might go to sleep. But very soothing.
I used to float.
Not that soothing, but it's close.
I like the kid. Yeah. I like what she did. She got her, you know, self-starter, SoundCloud, got herself an audience. And once again, it's that introspective stuff. And mm-hmm. it's the female equivalent of what we just talked about with Mr. Benson Boone. It's like, yeah, okay. And she's aping somebody else. I'm trying to think, and I know it sounds like old fogyism, but only because it's true. And it was a long time ago. There were always bands that sounded like other bands, but it wasn't the same. I'm thinking there was a period of time, right, say even the early 90s, my time was the 60s and into the early 70s, but even in the mid-70s, late 70s, and you're thinking you had a time, you could go from Beatles, who were still kind of sort of recording, or individual artists. The Stones were doing, by that time, they were doing Exile on Main Street. Then something like Joni Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
And we could name artists for an hour and a half that when you heard them, you knew instantly who that was.
Right.
because their uniqueness and their unique artistry was on display, as opposed to, wow, she sounds like a really interesting Billie Eilish.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you've heard the story about Rush, the Canadian band Rush.
Yeah.
Geddy Lee had the real high voice. When they put out that first single, Working Man, some DJs like in Ohio and up in the Michigan, up in that area around the Canadian border, thought it was new Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how they got their start, you know.
But I think this is indicative of what we're listening to here. And again, this is not meant to slam these kids or their work, because they're heartfelt and it's obviously professionally done. There's some interesting stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
But there's so much stuff now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's
so much stuff. It's inevitable that things are going to sound like other things and other things. But lastly, but not leastly, in the what's new category, and I only offer this up for two reasons. One, because somebody memed this before my attention was drawn to it, and I laughed. And they said, I cannot for the life of me imagine Casey Kasem trying to do an American Top 40 countdown with some of the stuff that's in the charts.
It's on there now. Yeah.
Not only that, the stuff it's high in the charts. Not only that, but this song came in this week on the Hot 100 at number one. Its first week on the charts, it went in at number one. Kendrick Lamar, Metro Boomin, as opposed to Flowers Bloomin, and The Future.
Yep.
And try to picture, if you don't know who, the older folks will know what I'm talking about. Youngers don't care. But Casey Kasem, can you imagine? And then again, this song is number one for the very first week, and it's in the charts. It's number one. Well, keep your feet on the ground and your head in the stars, and let's check out the number one song, and be careful because you're going to hear a lot of reference to pussy.
Gotta buy my joint up on this bitch. I miss you. Two times. Yeah. Sticking to the code, all these hoes for the street. I put it in her nose, it's gonna make her pussy leak. Pussy niggas told ain't gonna wake up at they sleep. You can't hear that switch, but you can't hear them niggas scream.
I like the whistle.
All my hoes do songs, nigga, all my hoes do coke. 20 karat ring, I put my fingers down her throat. If I lose a carrot, she might choke. I know she gon' swallow, she'll go. Free band, nigga.
Pop quiz, where did he rip off the keyboard lick?
She think cause she's out of bitch, she a track, yeah. That's that shit that get you put up.
Very familiar.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Came bringing dope niggas with John slanging powder. Walk in a strip club, make it rain for 3 hours. Locked in and now I got my phantom in my driver. Perked out for chances.
Well, as Nicolas Cage put it so profoundly years ago, it ain't Ozzy and Harriet.
No, it's not. Hey, it's not. Hey,
that's
Jude.
American Top 40 for this week. It's Bill Withers.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right.
Yep. When I was listening to it, I said, that's Isaac Hayes' old. And I went, no, that's Bill Withers. Anyway, mm-hmm. Number one.
Well.
Yeah. All right, let's do a dedication.
Kendrick Lamar's huge, so that's why.
It's, yeah, but, and again, we're not the demo anymore,
right,
so
right.
There's that. But still, mm-hmm. Yeah. Vaginas, really? Trust me when I tell you, I'm not being a hypocrite, and I'm trying not to be a jerkwad about this, but I'm telling you, nobody has been more focused in his life for 70-plus years than I have when it comes to vagina, but I'm tired of hearing it in the music. You know, come up with something else. It's lazy bullshit. You got no lyrical talent? Try some lyrics to tell stories that mean something. That's mm-hmm. all I'm saying. All right, let's dedicate something here.
This is my dedication. Today we salute you.
This is kind of cool and kind of fun. Swifties, well, we're all Swifties at heart, aren't we? So these folks from the Seismological Society of America and in association with Caltech, which is where, of course, where Howard and Leonard and
yes.
Raj hang out, they did some seismological readings on songs performed at a 2023 Taylor Swift concert. And said it literally, that concert literally caused, quote, an earth-shaking event. There was so much movement from the fans jumping up and down in unit, 70,000 people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That it registered 0.851 on the Richter scale, which is just 0.200 short of one on the Richter scale, which is not anything that's going to knock columns down, but it's still. But here's the funny part.
If you're moving the Earth, it's still important.
That's seismic activity. Here's the funny part, though. The test results that they used for control, they actually reviewed Metallica concerts, and they found that the numbers was way, 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 way down. And you're thinking your first thought primarily is going to be, well, you know, loud, heavy metal, bang, bang, not Taylor Swift. It's all kind of sweet. Bang, Metallica.
They're head banging, not foot banging.
This is exactly. Yeah. Gabrielle Tepp is a researcher, and she said, metal fans like to head bang a lot, so they're not necessarily bouncing. So you got a little Night at the Roxbury going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looked like chicken pecking. But these kids, 70,000 strong, they could bring down the town if they wanted to.
That's pretty intense.
All right. And that, as Dave mentioned, that 0.851 award goes to, well, it's just too obvious to even begin to think about.
Scott Edward Phelps, Dave Simmons, Two Guys Who Know Tunes, Talking Tunes, The Audiophiles.
Got that right. We're talking about pop music weirdos this week, and by that we don't mean like wacky way off left or way off right, just some unusual talent. We just call them pop music weirdos because it's a nice little catchy phrase.
This all feels weird.
What's wrong with weird? Weird's like the nuts in my cookies.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
It's the nuts that make things interesting.
Anyone else want to throw more weird shit at me?
Great Galaxy! What are those weird things?
Scott Edward Phelps, Dave Simmons.
Okay, well,
The Audiophiles.
There's something wrong with this program.
Well, we've known that for a long, long time. And I'm not sure that we care all that much for being called weird things, because we're not weird. We're just uniquely eccentric.
Mm, we're out
and
there.
And adventurous.
A little bit out there.
And you make more money at it than I do. So,
at this point in history, you made money back in the day.
A long time ago, when I didn't have insurance. Anyway, so we decided we'd just pick some names and say, hey, here's some fun stuff. You may or may not be aware of them. This guy, Nashville-based, I met him once or twice in a how-you-doing capacity, but I never had the chance to work with him or around him. But he was a hit maker back in the early 1960s. Serious music as well as novelty music. He started out as a novelty performer and writing songs. A good little guy you may have heard of, and if not, you're hearing about him now. His name is Ray Stevens.
Let me tell you about Ahab, the Arab, the sheik of the burning sands. He had emeralds and rubies just a dripping off of him, and a ring on every finger of his hand. He wore a big old turban wrapped around his head and a scimitar by his side. And every evening about midnight, he'd jump on his camel named Clyde.
He's free as a breeze, he's always at ease. He lives in the jungle and hangs by his knees as he swings through the trees without a trapeze in his BVD. He orders chips, guitar core, COD, makes A and E, and he's working on B. Dig C and W and R and B, and me and a chimpanzee agree that one day soon he'll be a celebrity. Get it, get it, get it, get it! Ow! Guitar's there! He's a guitar man! He's all you can stand.
Then there was a time in the 70s when running naked through crowds was cool. Right after this.
Well, you sit down in the street.
Here it comes again. Who's that with it? Ask him. Is that UFO?
He's just as proud as he can be.
What do you think you're doing?
Listen to me. He gonna give us a
you
key.
You get dirt.
But he was also a serious and seriously accomplished songwriter as well.
Itemize the things you covet as you squander through your life. Bigger cars, bigger houses, term insurance for your wife. Tuesday evenings with your harlot, and on Wednesdays it's your charlatan analyst. He's high up on your list. You better take care of business, Mr. Businessman. What's your plan?
But when the time comes, chances are the Obit song is going to be this little anthem to love and kindness and togetherness and all that out of fashion shit.
Starry so
Sing it, children.
Sing it, children.
An amazing talent.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
Diverse and wide. Early 60s, 60, 61 started off with Ahab. Can you imagine Ahab the Arab finding airplay in this?
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, the tonal quality of his singing voice was very Elvis-like.
Well, he was a Southern boy.
Yeah.
He had that going on in the first place.
But, yeah. He could have pulled off a good Elvis. He could have went on as a tribute act, an Elvis tribute act.
And he was a wackadoo. I think he's still, I don't know whether he's, I think he's still alive. He had a cable thing for a while on one of the minor shows.
Hey, Siri, is Ray Stevens still alive?
Hmm? You lit my Ray Siri Stevens up, too. Was born May 25th, no, he passed away in May of 23. May 21st, just last year. Yeah. No, wait, that's the wrong guy.
Ray Stevens?
Ray Stevenson. This is Ray Stevens.
Hey, Siri. How old is Ray Stevens?
Ray Stevens is 85 years old.
There you go.
Still alive.
Still kicking.
Still kicking it.
All right. In the same category, Nashville-based, although he was actually from, I think he was from Missouri. I can't remember. But the first time, I could name drop and say that this is one of the guys who spent some of his early days when he wasn't making any money and was trying to break into the business. He slept on Billy Strange's couch because Billy was like that. He did that with Mac Davis and a number of other people, too. But this guy... Nobody turned a goofball phrase into a hit song better, faster, or more often in the early 1960s than Roger Miller.
Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Make you want to holler, hi-de-ho. Burns your tummy, don't you know? Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Well, here I sit a-high, getting ideas. Ain't nothing but a fool to live like this. Out all night, running wild. Woman sitting home with a month-old child. Dang me, dang me. They ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me? One more. I hear tell you're doing well. Good things have come to you. I wish I had your happiness. You had to do, I could 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 do.
But he was a serious songwriter, too, just like Ray Stevens.
It's my belief pride is the chief cause in the decline in the number of husbands and wives.
And a song that no doubt inspired Dave Simmons.
Engine, engine number 9, coming down the railroad line.
But I think when the obit comes, this is going to be the song.
Trailer for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. Ain't got no cigarettes. Ah, but 2 hours of pushing broom. Buys a 8x12 4-bit room. I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road. Trailers for sale rent.
And the cool thing about that song, among other things, and by the way, I said when the obit comes, Roger did pass away a number of years ago. He's been gone for a while. That song was a number one and a major pop hit smash in 1965. And 1965 was a time when the British Invasion was in full flower. The Beatles were cutting out songs like "And Ride the Stones," all that British Invasion stuff, and all the great American music that was coming along. And yet Roger Miller's King of the Road found its way right up to the tippy top of the pop charts. Once again, though, there's an argument for what we were talking about before. In terms of not sounding like, oh, here's another group that sounds like the Beatles, that sound like the Beatles, that sound like the Beatles.
Yeah, because, I mean, there was the Beatles, the Dave Clark Five. They all sounded similar.
But, in any given pop chart, if you want to do this, just do Google. Google radio charts or pop charts or, you know, top 10 charts from whatever particular weeks there were in 1964, and especially in 65 and into 66. And you'll be amazed at the eclectic nature of the top 10 on your
average. Yeah, because there would be show tunes in there. There would be, you know, Broadway songs. There would be.
I remember a time when the top five records in town when I was growing up in New Orleans, the top five records were, one of them from Herman's Hermits, Satisfaction by the Stones, Flowers on the Wall by the Statler Brothers, the Irish Rovers, the Unicorn. Just great songs, great music. Nothing sounded like everything else. There you go. Roger Miller, talented guy. Now, interestingly enough, doing a little fun research for this thing, just like everything else in life, sorry, ladies, we'd change it if we could, the ratio of women to men or male to female in terms of these kinds of contributions was about 8-2.
Right.
So rather than pick on one, I just threw together a little medley melange of some fun women, some stuff I think we've used before or not, and others-wise. Well, you'll just see what we're talking about. It starts off with Peggy Lee's interesting Hispanic approach to things.
Every time she looks for me, I'm sleeping in the yard. My mother thinks I'm lazy, and maybe she is right. I'll go to work mañana, but I gotta sleep tonight.
Mañana, 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 it's soon enough for me.
If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked. Cake.
1950. Her name was Eileen Barton, and that's the only hit she ever had, but it was a mama.
How much is that doggy in the window?
Patti Page of Tennessee Waltz fame.
I do hope that doggy's for sale.
The name game.
Let's do Shirley.
Shirley, Shirley, Bo Burley, Bonana, Banana, Bo Burley, Fee, Fine, Mo Merley.
Let's do Chuck.
Shirley.
Moon. And Frank.
Was yep. Like so bitchin'. Like
and I think Mary Wilson that. Pops up here.
Hey, baby, I'm your telephone, and you just show me where you want it, and I'll put it where I can. I can put it in the bedroom, I can put it in the hall, I can put it in the bathroom, I can hang it on the
but for sheer love,
things will be great.
It's Elva.
Monday, Monday. To me.
Better known as Mrs. Miller.
Day morning, it was all I hoped it would be. We hardly feel real suffering. Your suffering, your suffering.
In a hard day's night, I should be sleeping.
Alright, boots, start walking.
I love the little farfisa.
You just keep right on walking.
Now, I'm sorry, as lame as that sounds, and I know in some quarters it does, you can't help but smile. That's just
oh, yeah.
Fun.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing untoward about it. She was, in fact, a real woman who sang those songs on real records and on real TV shows back in the day. And she was a grandma. She kind of looked like Aunt B and sort of talked like Aunt B.
Right.
And there was that. And she wasn't. Picture, if you're less hip to that, remember the Meryl Streep movie from a few years back, Florence Foster Jenkins. It's that same,
yeah.
A woman who thought she could sing, but she managed to parlay it. And she made a few bucks.
Of that, of Frank and Moon, do you remember that album cover? That was the best album cover.
Yeah.
Ship arriving too late to save a drowning witch.
Yeah.
And that's had the little V come up out of the water.
Yeah.
Frank, that was the best.
Frank Zappa, for those who don't know
he
what we're talking
best.
About, and his kids, Dweezil and Moon Unit. I don't know if she changed. I think she's just Moon, and she has been for years. But that was a big hit for her called Valley Girl.
Yeah.
Well, we teased at the beginning, and we said, hey, he's the shit, man. Well, you got no idea. It's the Dave Files is here.
The Dave Files.
It has a beat that moves right along, too. Listen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
Lucky roll!
This week, this segment of the Dave Files is brought to you by our new sponsor, Defecating Dave.
I don't like where people poo. Look where some people poo. Look where some of these people poo. Look where some people poo.
I did it!
Yeah, you did it.
Well, you know, Scott, in today's day and age, everybody's looking for an easy way to make, you know, a little side money.
That's no shit, buddy.
You know, and we all are. So I went on and, it was, work from home, you know, things you could do.
One can only hope.
Things you could do. And I saw this university was doing a study and they're looking for people to provide feces samples. And then, you know, apparently they send you a box, you shit in the box. You send it back.
This is not to be confused, of course, with Justin Timberlake's classic Dick in a Box. This is the sequel, Shit in a Box.
So basically, I had to fill out this long application because you had to go into your medical history, your family's medical history, and they're going to pull your medical records and et cetera, et cetera. You had to give them consent. You know, it's not a scam or anything. It's a real deal with a real university. You even had to explain the consistency of your stool. So, I said, and it paid like $200 to $500.
Wasn't that the follow-up album to Dark Side of the Moon?
Yes.
Consistency of your stool?
Yeah, it pays like $200 to $500 per sample that you give. So I'm thinking to myself, I can shit in a box 4 or 5 times a month and make a grand. You know what I mean? Who wouldn't do that?
Not to mention how it'll look on your resume.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, this seems to be a job that was made for me, according to Julie. So basically I filled everything out. I'm still waiting to hear back. They said they have like a 3-month backlog on applicants.
Backlog. We're going to be doing this for a long time to come.
Scott, I'm going to get you an application because I think you'd like to join in.
I would. I wouldn't mind. You know, besides, because I'm in a different category. There's not that many men my age who can probably create the particular
right.
texture, fiber, content. I'm unique among shit.
But yeah, it's providing stool stamp samples for research is an actual part-time job that I have applied for, and I hope I get.
You know, there's so many, so many punchlines that it's like in my head right now, I'm visualizing, and it's like those swirly dream sequences in movies where you can see everything but nothing. You can't make it out because there's so many. I can't even pluck one out of there without making it sound contrived.
What other job can you? You can do it while you're listening to music. You can do it while you're watching TV. You can do it while you're reading.
I can't imagine,
going to do it anyway.
With the possible exception of Congress, I can't imagine any more shitty an occupation.
You're going to do it anyway, so might as well get paid for it.
With any kind of luck. Because I don't mind telling you, not to waft off the story, but I had my little procedure done. And after my little procedure, I had my gallbladder taken out. But that's surgery. But this laparoscopic surgery, which is cool because they don't cut you. A friend of mine texted me during the get well phase and he said, good for you. He said, I had it done some years ago when it was a 5-day hospital stay and a 7-inch scar. I've got a scar that's about that long.
Yeah.
Two little holes that healed up. Nevertheless, the first 3 or 4 days, you don't do anything except just lay around while things calm down. And there's a certain amount of pain.
Right.
I discovered when I had my knee replaced, because he wrote me a prescription for Oxy, and I took Oxy for pain, and I did that about 2 days, and then I swore off Oxy, because one of the side effects of the major opioid pain relievers
constipation.
Is constipation, and it's not just I'm having a little trouble getting going, it's like there's a 44-pound log trying to get out my asshole, and it won't come out, and it's going to rip me literally a new one unless I get something, and I had to go into a whole night thing, so...
Maybe we can see if they'll pay you by the pound.
Well, I'm okay now because I've gotten some different drugs and I've been slapping down. I keep wanting to call it Mylanta. That's the ulcer. What's the Miramax? Liramax. What the
stool softener?
Yeah. If you're just tuning in,
well, I would be sending mine in a little box. You could send that in a Pampers box.
Can you imagine? Let's hope that they're really a high class outfit and they use like totally sensor sealed Ziploc bags.
I'm sure they do.
Otherwise, I feel so bad for the mailman on a hot summer day driving around with a Jeep full of shit boxes.
Trust me, the application process was so detailed and in depth that they can't possibly be a fly by night operation.
All right. Well, for further information, email Dave. I'm sure he'll be happy to talk to
you. I hope I get it.
And I hope you do too. And he'll share the shit, the whole shit, and nothing but the shit.
Dave Simmons.
And I sit and wait until the poop plops down.
What the hell is that shit?
The audio files.
Got that right. I got one more semi-eccentric fan. I'm the fan as I do 6 degrees this week.
6 degrees of SEP.
If you don't know his work from his early 70s albums of eccentric pop rock music, then you certainly know him for his film work, depending on that. If nothing else, you absolutely know the stuff that he's done for Toy Story movies through the years, including all the songs, including You Got a Friend in Me. But he comes from a show business, Oscar-winning composing family, and he was a pop song writer, hit maker. Well, he had one real singles hit, and the rest of the stuff is just his eclectic albums. Talking about Randy Newman, the single was Short People. Short People Got No Reason, Short People Got No Reason. For those who still get their panties in a knot about it, let me say what I've always said through the years when I talk about Randy Newman and Short People. For the last time, love of God, he's a brilliant man. He wasn't making fun of short people. He was in the song ridiculing people who make fun of short people. You see, it's called, it's called irony. It's called causticity. All right. So I put together a little, I was very influenced by Randy Newman as a songwriter and didn't realize it until I kind of came into my second or third flowerhood of writing songs back in the 1980s, even to the 1990s. But if you're not familiar with Randy Newman's work, trust me, go find the albums. I recommend his first album. It's called Randy Newman, an album called Good Old Boys. Trust me, you're going to hear a little piece of that in here in a second. The Paradise album, which has I Love L.A. on it, and then Land of Dreams, which was like in 1995. That's the albums that'll get you started. If you like and love that stuff, then anything else you pick up on him is going to be great. But start with those and go from there. Here's a little taste of Randy Newman at his best. This is from one of those later albums. The song is called My Life is Good, and he's telling the story in the story about how he and his wife had been notified by their kid's teacher back when his kid was a kid that the kid had been a little disruptive, and the teacher wanted to have a conference. So Mr. and Mrs. Newman went to see teacher, and Randy, musically speaking, kind of set her straight.
Teacher, let me tell you a story. Just this morning, my wife and I went to this hotel in the hills. That's right, the Bel Air Hotel. A very good friend of ours happens to be staying. And the name of this young man is Mr. Bruce Springsteen. That's right. Yeah, we talked about this kind of woodblock or something. New guitar we like. And you know what he said to me? Tell you what he said to me. He said, "Rand, I'm tired. How would you like to be the boss for a while?" Well, yeah.
Then there was the biblical Randy Newman, who put, for me, put the New Testament exactly where it belonged in the great theological scheme of things.
My life
is good, you old bat. Praise the Lord.
The Lord said, "I burn down your city. How blind you must be. I take from you your children, and you say, how blessed are we. You all must be crazy. Put your faith in me. That's why I love mankind. You really need me. That's why I love mankind."
I always point out this next song as one, I think it's one of the most beautiful love songs ever written.
Like a princess the night we met, with your hair piled up high, I will never forget. I'm drunk right now, baby, but I've got to be. I never could tell you what you mean to me. I loved you the first time I saw you, and I always will love you, Marie. You got no neck or man from Texas.
Meanwhile,
good old boys from Tennessee, college men from LSU, winning dumb, come out dumb too, hustling around Atlanta in the
That song is from the album Good Old Boys, and it's kind of a theme thing of life in the South. And no, he's not a racist guy. He's ridiculing the people who are racist people, and that's how that particular... And I'm particularly fond of that song for a kind of a personal reason. Years ago, after I had left Nashville and gone on, a friend of mine saw Randy in a concert in one of the smaller club kind of atmospheres and got his autograph. In fact, the poster on the wall over there, you can see,
see it.
Personally autographed to me myself.
To Scott, I hope to get that job at the stool sample place.
that's
that what it says?
Your friend in shit, Randy Newman. But Randy was playing in this kind of in the round sort of thing, and he's at his piano. And Nashville, there were a number of music industry people there, obviously the VIP types, but apparently there was a serious number of your locals, as it were, Nashville, Tennessee. And my friend Blair was telling me, he said it was a priceless moment, he said, because he did a number of his love songs and some of those in short people and stuff like that. And then he did Rednecks. And he said, and he got to the part where he says, you know, college men from LSU went in dumb, come out dumb too, hustling around Atlanta in their alligator shoes, keeping the niggas down. And that's, and then it goes into the we're rednecks, we don't know our ass from a hole in the ground. He said there were two guys who'd had a few cups by that time, kind of your typical locals, yeehaw, yeehey, who stood up at their table, took their cowboy hats off like it was a rodeo, and were singing along with the song. And Blair said, obviously, they didn't know what the hell was going on.
Right.
Obviously, they were under the impression that it was some kind of anthem, like, we will rock you. And he said, in the priceless moment, and we didn't have smartphones in those days, he said, the saddest part was I couldn't get on film. Randy's playing, okay, and from his sight line, all he had to do was cock his eyes up a little to the right, and he could see these guys. He didn't miss a beat of the song. He didn't raise his head. He just, those eyes went up, and he saw that, and he said, and the look on Randy Newman's face, if we'd have been able to capture it, was, this is why I do what I do, because this has captured, this proves exactly what I'm writing about, and these are the people I'm talking about, and they're singing at the top of their lungs. We don't know our ass from the hole in the ground. Yeah, check out his work.
Does he have any kids?
Yeah, he was married a couple of times, once for quite a long time, and then I think again in relative years.
Are any of them musicians?
I don't know. I don't know. He comes from, if you're interested in knowing real quick, his uncles were Alfred Newman and Emil Newman, and both of those, especially Alfred Newman, were responsible for scoring tons of classic motion pictures back in the 1930s and 1940s. The Errol Flynn, Adventures of Robin Hood, classic movies, not stuff, high stuff. Look up Alfred Newman, Emil Newman. That's his, it's his
own. Yeah, the reason I ask is like, I recently saw a video of Jim Croce's son, and he sounds just like him.
Yeah.
It's eerie.
The DNA goes a long, long way.
Yeah.
Anyway, Randy Newman, check him out.
You're listening to The Audiophiles.
Well, yeah. I think it's product time.
Gather round, kids.
The best for less.
It's just what you need.
It's a good quality item.
The ladies really dig these things, if you know what I mean, and I think you do.
Yes, sir. We're next month's garage sale for sure.
Dave Simmons.
Wherever toys are sold.
I'll be here after the meeting to hand out information packets and take your checks. Just make them out to cash. That's my maiden name.
You know, soon, can we assume there'll be some kind of fecal endorsements?
There may be. There just may be. You just sit on that for a while. we had two really good, nearly sold out shows at the Milton Theater this past week.
Yeah, the Milton's becoming kind of your cavern club, isn't it?
They really like the Neil Diamond show, and it's the fan base. And this was odd. The first like two or three rows, Scott, same people, both shows. They bought tickets to both shows.
You know, that usually only happens at Streisand or Diner Ross shows.
So that was
dressed in feather boas.
We had a really good time. So we'd like to thank the Milton Theater. Lynn and Robbie, Trinity Cymbals, as always, you guys are so good to me. Really appreciate everything. HHG Drums, Sam and Kevin, top of the line products. Just go to hhgdrums.com, trinitycymbals.com if you're interested in cymbals. Iowa, hello, Indonesia. Our fan base in Indonesia, which is ever growing. We really appreciate everything that, that you do for the show. And Iowa, thanks for everything. I got another two more bricks of sticks on their way to me as we speak. Nia Cox, just had a conversation with her this morning from Excess Energy Drinks. I don't know if you saw, I posted a picture of the energy drink on my snare drum and said it got me through the day.
Can we be looking forward to the debut of the prune energy drink?
Maybe soon. Maybe soon.
Soon there will be
maybe prune. Soon. And then Dean and Dale, Earl Teat Music, Dover and Del Mar, two locations in Delaware and the U.S. of A.
You dare or die.
Yeah, hit them up. They are the best. They've done so much for me. I really appreciate them. And as far as I've got a corporate party to come in this weekend, a big corporate party with my kinds in the look. And then the week after that, we're playing Bad Bunny. You know who Bad Bunny is?
It rings a bell.
Yeah, Bad Bunny's an artist, a dance artist. We're playing Bad Bunny's after party at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the U.S. of A. And that's it.
I'm in awe.
So what are you doing, Scott?
I'm going to have bologna tonight. Nah, I got a couple of things working. You got your, I never heard of you either, the serial book memoir musical available where, oh, and by the way, speaking of a couple of things, I didn't make notes, but I want to make sure I remember to say this. Our usual sister podcast accompaniment, the audio files.
Yes.
Will be in place as always, but because of the number of songs that we included in this episode and excerpted, et cetera, we had to do a little editing. Not every song will be represented there, but what we did was we left out the songs that were really familiar. In other words, we opened with a little melange. Here Comes the Sun was there. Right, well, right, you can find those songs anywhere. So yeah. Anyway, that's that. And what was the other thing? See, I already forgot the other thing. All right. Oh, yeah. And we didn't do this. Google Podcasts is no more. Google Podcasts has sold their souls or whatever they did, and anything that was on Google Podcasts that's been properly transferred over is now available on YouTube Music or YouTube Podcasts. Okay, so if you're a Google Podcast downloader and you're saying, hey, how come I can't get in there and do that anymore? It's nothing that we did. It's because Google Podcasts has gone on to whatever they've gone on to do. So there's that. And I've never heard of you either, which is the memoir set to music. I got 45 RPM, which is the oldie show, which ain't like no oldie show. As a matter of fact, a couple of weeks back or 3 or 4 weeks back, I remember making a comment saying that we were thinking about doing a little pioneering thing and attaching an episode of 45 RPM to the end of each of these episodes. That hasn't happened yet for a number of reasons, primarily because I got lazy and they cut me open and I was... I was sore, and then I was constipated, and that was the worst part. Did I mention the constipation? That was no fun at all. But I thought, well, what the heck? If nothing else, I'll give you a little teeny tiny taste. Instead of 2 whole minutes, this take about 60 seconds. The current episode, if you go to the podcast side on Podomatic, or if you go to YouTube Music or Amazon Music or all the places where you get the audio files and the audio files, 45 RPM is available right there. This week's episode is kind of fun. It has to do with covers. We've talked about covers here on this show, too. Here's a little excerpt of this week's episode, if you're interested in giving it a listen.
Secret agent man, they've given you a number and taken away your name. Only got a number, secret agent man.
Ever and always ready to answer the musical question.
What the hell is that?
He was known as the Velvet Fog. He was very popular back in the 1940s, 1950s. Clubs, Vegas baby, back in the Rat Pack days. In the era of such great vocalists as Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, and a cast of thousands. That's Mel Torme. Contemporary audiences would remember him best for his guest appearance on an episode of Seinfeld. The one where at the end he sang tribute to a Kramer who was mistaken for someone of special needs who had actually been to the dentist earlier that day and simply had a mouthful of Novocaine.
Looks like he gave you some Novocaine.
Oh, I'm loaded.
I've got a new policy. Adults only.
You don't have to watch your language.
You find the need to use a lot of obscenities at the dentist?
When they pull that needle out, I let the explicit fly.
45 RPM with Scott Edward Phelps.
The whole world smiles with you.
That was a good episode.
45 RPM. Check it out.
The moment you've all been waiting for.
Can you move it out of here?
Okay, wrap it up, kid.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The audio files.
All right. Well, unless Dave's come up with a new product in the last 30 seconds.
I actually have.
I would not be surprised. You're a young, successful guy on the climb, man. That's all there is to it.
Now, actually, we have Engine 9, Nappy and I have a single coming out on 418 Records within the next 2 to 3 weeks. I'll keep you posted. We can do a review on here.
You bet.
Yeah.
Send that to me as soon as you've got it.
I will.
Don't use the same box you used to ship your shit.
You might have to dig through the box to get to.
No. No. I count marriages number one and two as all the shit I should ever have to deal with in my entire lifetime.
But I totally forgot all that when I was talking earlier.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
I had two things and I lost one of them. So
well, there you go.
Maybe it's in my gallbladder.
It
that's
could
no
be.
Longer in me.
Well, I'm having those bronzed for you, so.
Gosh, I'm sorry to say it's time to go. Well, I'm trying to think if there was something else that I... Oh, yeah, this for the hell of it.
Yeah, you missed your window, man. My contact at the University of West Virginia's recording division is gone.
They had their chance, man.
Yeah.
That's it.
So
I'm not pressing my little face against the glass anymore. Let me in. Next week, a little something out of the ordinary, if that's entirely possible. I haven't even told Dave yet. I think we were scheduled to do the second half of the Hal Blaine thing, but that's not going to happen. I'll explain it to Dave right after we get done here.
Okay.
And next
news
week,
to me.
Something else is coming. Well, it's a long story. Yeah. First, I was constipated, and I didn't have time to do the things I needed to do. We'll get into that
later. Is this show turning into a bi-weekly thing?
Pretty much, with any kind of luck. In the meantime, remember, we're always going to offer quality product here. We wouldn't ask you to listen for an hour plus if we weren't doing the very best we could to entertain you in some fashion.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Whether we succeed or not, well, that's entirely up to you.
Peace, love, and poop in a box.
And with that, I'm Scott Edward Phelps.
I'm Dave Simmons.
And we are the Audiophiles.
Audiophiles is produced in the United States of America. Questions, comments, and witty banter welcome. Audiophilesbroadcast@gmail.com.
We're after the same rainbow's end, waiting round the bend, my huckleberry friend.
The Audiophiles.
That's the loveliest thing I've ever heard.
Same as she deaf, you know?